So have you enjoyed the snow this week? A range of responses. Hands up for yes, I've enjoyed the snow this week. Oh, you positive bunch. Hands up for no, I haven't enjoyed the snow this week. And hands up for the it was lovely initially and then I had enough. That's kind of, I think, where I am probably. Well, the way you answer that question will probably depend on whether or not you got a snow day. For some people, this week meant that you put on your Arctic gear early in the morning. You left the house early, because when the weather is inclement, you have to leave early. You waited around for a bus or a train that never arrived. You faithfully trudged through the snow only to arrive at work or school to discover that you were only one of a handful of people who made it there. That was certainly the case for my daughter, who was one of only five in her tutor group of 30 on Wednesday. For some of you, this experience was made worse when you were then stranded on the train for 3 hours on the way home. Oh, joy. For other people, you were told the night before that your work or school was going to be closed the following day. That meant that you got a lie-in. Yes, you did. Some of you perhaps got up and then went out to play in the snow. Then you came back, had a hot chocolate to warm up. Then you snuggled under a blanket to watch Netflix, you smug so-and-sos, and you made the most of your bonus day off. I happen to know that some of the families from church were rather split when it came to the snow, because one person got a snow day and the other didn't. There is nothing worse than knowing that your brother or sister has a day off whilst you are at school. I feel your pain for Annabelle and for Hattie, amongst others, no doubt. And in case you're wondering, if you're a vicar who works from home, then you never, ever, ever get a snow day because you work from home. Yes, life is definitely unfair. The snow is, of course, a fairly trivial example in the grand scheme of things, but the point is no less true. Life does often feel rather unfair, which is why many people feel that God should be fair. It sort of counteracts the injustice of life. But I think today's parable from Matthew begs the question, is God fair, or what does God's fairness look like? I wonder what you think. Last Sunday evening at the Lent group, we looked at this story, and I have to say I've been chewing it over all week, and I still don't know what I think. I'm not sure whether I think God is fair or operates a different kind of fairness. So let's look at the story and see how it speaks to us. Well, the story hinges on the way in which the workers are treated. The workers who've been there all day are paid a fair wage. It is a living wage, a denarius. In contrast, the workers who've been there just for 1 hour and done a twelfth of the work are also paid a denarius. Is that fair? Your answer probably depends on whether or not you got a snow day and who you identify with. For some reason, most of us identify with the workers who've been there since the crack of dawn. Why is that, I wonder? Why don't we see ourselves as the ones who've got lucky? Why do we instinctively see ourselves as the ones who've been hard done by? It's useful at this point to think about why Jesus told this story. And if you have been looking at it in your church Bible, it's great. It would be great to have it open. It's on page 987, because I'm going to look at something that comes before and something that comes straight afterwards. So it's just sometimes helpful to have the context in front of you. Page 987, we're looking at chapter 20. I'm going to flip back to the bit before and the bit after. So it's likely that this story was a response to a question that Peter asked. And he asks this question in verse 27 of chapter 19, so just before the story that we heard. In that encounter, which is sometimes called the story of the rich young ruler, Jesus has just told his followers, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. On hearing that, Peter says to Jesus, but Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? The question is, what do we get out of this? Peter's question suggests two things: that being a disciple of Jesus was hard, costly work, and that as a consequence, the disciples assumed that they would be rewarded in some way for their hard work. If the parable is Jesus' response to that question, then it's a rather challenging response. Because on the one hand, we're told that those who've worked longest and hardest will be repaid fairly. A denarius is a fair wage. They will be rewarded appropriately and fairly. But on the other hand, we're told that those workers who've only done a small amount of work will be treated in exactly the same way. If the unions had existed then, I think they might have had a field day when it came to this particular vineyard. So the context of the story and the story itself expose two things, I think. First of all, the disciples' sense of entitlement is exposed in this story. And actually, that's reinforced later on in chapter 19. If you flip over the page, you'll see there's a section where it talks about the mother of James and John coming to Jesus. And when she comes to Jesus, she asks if her sons can have the privilege of sitting either side of Jesus in his throne, in his kingdom. When you read it, when you read about this woman saying, "I'd like my sons to be able to sit either side of your throne," it is slightly uncomfortable. Because actually, they're not asking for fair treatment. Their mum is asking that they should be treated in a special way. I want them to have something more, an extra, that others won't have. And all of a sudden, when I read that, I'm not so sure I want to identify with the workers who've been there all day. Because those workers are actually asking for more than they rightly deserve. Because they were promised a fair wage. So what they're saying is, we think we deserve more. Ironically, what they are asking for is unfair. On the other hand, the story exposes the generosity of God, who's depicted, of course, as the landowner. This landowner would definitely not cut it in the dragon's den, because he is prepared to pay some of his workers more than they are worth. The difference is that the disciples were asking for more than they deserved. And in this case, it is the landowner who offers. They're not asking. The workers who came late in the day weren't saying, "Give me a whole day's wage." It was the landowner's initiative. Therein lies the difference. One group expect, demand more than they deserve. The other group don't, and they are given it. That is exactly what this whole story hinges on. This man, this landowner, is a fool. Or maybe he is not. Because perhaps it's nothing to do with the worth of the workers. It is about the generosity of God. Because in God's economy, he chooses to value all the workers equally. Which raises a question for us. Who would you rather work for? What kind of boss would you rather have? The one that gives you snow days or the one that doesn't? I know what my answer is. The parable begins with the following phrase, "for the kingdom of heaven is like," which means that this story describes what the world is like when God is in charge, when everybody acknowledges that God is in charge. So let me ask you another question. What kind of world do you want to live in? A world in which we treat with one another with fairness, where people get what they deserve, or a world in which we treat one another with generosity? One of the things I've noticed this week is that when it snows, people are much more mindful of one another's needs. People have been checking on their neighbours, they've been running errands, sharing resources, giving lifts. There was a great story about 4x4 owners suddenly don't look so mean and ruinous of the environment because they're helping people. Stories of people providing help where it's needed. And in particular, I've heard lots of people expressing concern about those who are homeless and sleeping rough. And on social media, people have been sharing links of charities and organisations who can help rough sleepers. And people have been trying to marry up those in need with the help that is available. And there is something about the snow that brings things into sharp focus for us. Because we become less preoccupied with whether people might be deserving or undeserving. Our concern isn't with how they got there or why they got there or what they might do to help themselves. When it snows, we all agree people should be provided with what they need, whether they have earned it or not. I wonder if a world that's governed by generosity could actually end up being a world which is fair. I wonder if generosity might lead to justice. So what do we do with this wonderfully perplexing parable, especially when we feel like we're the ones who've been there since 6 a.m. working hard? How do we put this into practice this time tomorrow? And for me, I think it comes back to that question, what kind of world do you want to live in? What kind of world do you want to live in? Because I do want to live in a world that's generous. I don't want to have to wait for snow so that we all suddenly look beyond the ends of our own noses. And actually, I want to live in the world where I might be treated with generosity, and especially when I don't deserve it. And I want to be generous all of the time, not just 3 days every 3 years. So how do we put this into practice? Well, my suggestion is that perhaps tomorrow or this week we go out and we do something generous. And ideally we do something generous for someone who hasn't earned it and doesn't deserve it. Because that, Jesus says, is what life is like in the kingdom of God. It's challenging to live in the kingdom of God. But I wonder if generosity might actually lead to true fairness and true justice, where everybody has what they need and where everybody matters. Amen.